Yeah, so one of the reason why I like quick, sorry about that interruption. So the reason why I like Orange Triad as a multivitamin, if you're an older athlete, is Orange Triad is a very good multivitamin, just like Anavite. Doesn't have the boron or beta alanine in it, but instead what it has is a good joint formula, glucosamine, chondroitin, and then it also has, which might be something that you like right now, it also has an immune support, like echinacea, things like that. It has a lot of different things in it, but also, so it's a multivitamin, an immune support formula in it, and also a joint formula. And the joint supplements themselves can actually be pricey, so it's actually, you'll save money if you get a good multivitamin combined with that joint formula, as opposed to like the joint supplements can actually be decently expensive. And in my experience, actually using glucosamine and chondroitin, it actually does help the times that I've had a knee get cranked or a shoulder, elbow, or actually a solid pain. It does give me some relief. It's not a drug, it's not a steroid injection, so it's not going to be an immediate relief like that, but every bit does help. I've actually, speaking to a student, you know, it's probably a couple weeks ago now, and we were talking about massage, we're talking about foam rolling and stuff, and, you know, they were asking about the trigger point machines, the massage machines. I have one of those, and they were asking, and I was like, you know, they're asking how much they help, think it helps with recovery. I'm like, well, it's kind of hard to really tell. I do think it makes me feel better when I get my train, when I use it after training, especially really sore days where I'm really, really worked out and I'm really sore and run down. But the thing is, I'm sore all the time so much. Like, it might help my recovery 2%. And I think they took it the wrong way, actually. When I said 2%, they were like, oh, 2%, that's not, you know, that's nothing. I was like, no, that's not the way I mean it. 2% is actually great. So what you're trying to do is, with all these things, you're trying to, much like if you've ever played an MMO, like Endgame, you're trying to get a 0.5% here, you're trying to get 1.2% here, 0.5% there, 0.7% here, 2%. 2% is actually great. So if you get 2% recovery from a Tim Tam or something like that, or you get a 2% recovery from a massage therapist or whatever those things, those are all good. You're trying to add to it. You're kind of trying to get 3% increased recovery from your diet, or 5%, you know, if you got a garbage diet, you might increase your recovery by 10%, then 2% from the trigger machine, you know, and then foam rolling give you another 1%. And then it's like, from you compared to, it's really annoying to me that people will shoot down ideas that, because they're not amazing and there's not a magic bullet. But the problem is, there are no amazing magic bullets. Like, they don't exist. So like, people will shoot things down that requires work from them because they don't want to do the work. And they say, well, that's not that good, it doesn't do anything. It could be anything that they actually have to do, and they'll shoot it down because it's an excuse for them to not actually have to do the work or put the work forward for the therapy or the massage or whatever type thing it is. But they do that as a coping mechanism to protect their ego, so that they don't actually, you know, it's not them not doing things or neglecting what they need to do. It's that the treatments or the practices are not actually effective. That is an annoying thing to me, because again, you can, compared to the normal person, if you have a 12% increase recovery rate over them, that's over a 6-month period, that's huge. Oh, but over a 5-year period, that's gigantic. It's insane. Over an entire lifetime, this is the difference between quality of life over someone's entire lifetime. So you know, everything, I'm a fan of everything that is effective, even if it's a 1% increase, 2% increase, because those things are cumulative, and they're cumulative day by day, month by month, year by year. It's a basic compound interest. But again, understanding compound interest and basic things like that are not actually difficult. It's the ego wants to protect the person from, you know, they'd rather spend time arguing with people on Facebook instead of foam rolling for 15 minutes. They just don't want to admit that that's what it is. So the ego will protect yourself and say, ah, that's a waste of time. So anyway, they won't research like, SMR, self myofascial release. They don't even know what the term is. They just say, I'm not going to do it. It's like, all right, well, it's funny. All the really successful people, Olympic gold medalists and world champions do everything, Rolfing, chiropractic, massage, dry needling, foam rolling, massages, float tanks. They do everything to get any percentage point that they can, and then they're great. And then people say, I wonder why they're so great. Wow, that's amazing. It should just be like, it's a gift or something. It's not a gift. They're doing so much work you can't even imagine. And actually, a lot of the things that they're doing doing, you might be shooting down saying that they're not effective. And it's pretty funny when an Olympic gold medalist is doing it, but an amateur athlete with very little experience says that something's garbage. So anyway, so double multivitamin. Next one, humidifier. So we have a couple of humidifiers running in our house right now. The reason for the humidifiers, if you want to look up humidifiers with viruses, the quick little overview is viruses, some viruses at least, the flu virus in particular. It seems from research that the flu virus does not do very well in humid environments. It thrives in thrives in dry environments. So if you want to look up those studies, one of them was with guinea pigs, and they just simply put the flu virus into the environment with a dry air, and then the other was with humid. The humidity, the virus, it was hard for the flu virus to live. The flu virus, it was difficult for it to live, and the humid environment and the dry environment, it just spread like wildfire. So a test to let you know whether negativity bias has taken over you. If I said that and your first thought that came to your mind was, we're worried about the coronavirus, not the flu virus, warning, you might be infected with negativity bias, where you're looking for negativity in anybody's statement or trying to find a reason to not get a humidifier. The reason why I say that is, yeah, of course, we're focused on the coronavirus, but there's a lot of unknowns about the coronavirus. One of the unknowns particularly is that maybe humidity could increase its reproduction. Maybe. That is a variable that's there. And also humidity might lower its reproduction or its ability to thrive. We don't know that either. But the studies do show that the flu virus has a hard time with humidity. So instead of using the negativity bias and be like, oh, there's no reason to get a humidifier, you know, you can do whatever you want. But right now, one of the issues we have is that we have the common cold, we have the flu virus, we have it's also allergy season, and then we also have the coronavirus. So COVID-19. So we have all these. So if having the humidifiers just makes it so that the flu virus doesn't live as easily in your house, that's still good. Knock one of those off so that you don't just get the flu. And then, you know, if you get the flu right now, you're really going to be worried that you have the coronavirus. And then you're going to go to the hospital to get treated, and you're going to use possibly medical supplies or medical personnel that needs to be used for other things. And then also, you might even, because people with the coronavirus are going to medical facilities, there's a chance that you pick it up because hospitals are known to have germs. So you go in there to get checked because you got the flu. I think you actually maybe can have the flu and coronavirus at the same time, or back to back. So who knows, you could go there and then end up getting coronavirus because you had the flu. So anyway, humidifier. We have two of them running our house right now at all times to make sure the dry air, so it's not too dry in the house. Next one, 8 hours of sleep and a 1 hour nap each day. So you got plenty of free time. So at least 8 hours of sleep at night and then taking a 1 hour nap. So that 1 hour nap, don't worry, you know, I love naps. I love naps so much. But what you're doing real basic is keep yourself rested, give your immune system as much chance to fight things off as it possibly can. And 8 hours of sleep is just healthy as it is. The 1 hour nap, we're just working in extra recovery time for your immune system in case you do have to fight something off or actively are fighting something off. And also, you got plenty of time in the day. Naps feel awesome. So yeah, you got more time than usual. Next one, hydration. You want to stay hydrated. So a lot of people walk around dehydrated. They don't know it. It's really hard for anything to work in your body without being hydrated. You know, you can't build muscle without being hydrated. Immune system also is going to be hurt if you're dehydrated. So stay hydrated. Next one, healthy diet, no processed foods. So trying to limit the sweets and cookies as much as possible, not going crazy with it or anything, but just I'll tell you right now how I messed up. The reason why I'm doing this podcast and when I do this is because I already messed up at the beginning of this. Friday and Saturday in particular, ordered Domino's pizza, ate pizza and ate a cookie for breakfast and pizza. Is terrible and just felt like garbage. And I was like, this is not how I'm going to deal with this quarantine. There is no way I'm not taking three steps backwards during this quarantine. And I eat pretty healthy most of the time. I sneak some sweets in and stuff, but basically my diet's 95% healthy, 5% putting a cookie in or something like that. But, you know, waking up, you know, sleeping in on one day, Saturday, sleeping in, eating a cookie and then eating pizza is terrible. I felt like I was sick just at the end of the day by eating that. And it's amazing people eat like that all the time, every day. You know, it's going to really jack you up. But so yeah, one day of it was like, no, not going to do this at all. And ideally, I want my body to look better after this pandemic than it does going into it. But yeah, processed foods, your body just doesn't do very well with it. You'll know if you eat a clean diet and you eat processed foods, you will know it feels like you put poison in your body. You know, it's one of the theories behind why people store more body fat is actually to protect against the toxins, actually, that body fat itself actually acts as a protective organ or mechanism. Yeah, it's just a theory, but all right, so we got those. That's the basic stuff that I'm doing today. It did just little basic things like vitamins, humidifiers, stuff like that. So take it, use it if you want. If you don't, it's fine. You can do whatever you want. So all right, here we get into it. So the pandemic is here. Yeah, let's make the best of it. Okay, so I'm not trying to lighten in any way. If you have a family member that is sick, just so you know, I'm not trying to make light of this at all. But I grew up extremely poor. I've lived under the boxing ring when we were children. You know, we were on food stamps for school. Went to bed hungry plenty of times. Plenty of winters didn't have heat. Yeah, stuff that I never want to go through again and never want my family to go through. But it's definitely an important thing. And one of the things I learned through it is to survive really hard times, you have to have a positive mindset and a positive attitude. Also, this is translates to everything, like, I say everything, but it translates to competition and combat sports. If you go in with a negative attitude, there is very hard for you to succeed. If you're just so much better than your opponent, technically, you're so much better and so much more prepared, you can go in with a negative outset and win. But if they're equally prepared, your mindset's really important. So to survive through difficult situations, a positive mindset's really important. So just so you know, with this podcast, if anybody has a family member sick or has passed away, I'm not trying to make light of it. It's just really important to have a positive mindset when you're going through really harsh times, because it can be the difference between giving up or surviving. And lots of times, just the fact that you don't give up will actually make you survive in a lot of scenarios. One of my favorite quotes is, luck will often save a man if his courage holds. But there's a lot of scenarios where human beings, way worse than this coronavirus, that had to endure and survive. So keep it a positive mindset. So yeah, and positive mindset with this quarantine, hopefully we can lower the chance of transmission and get through it in a good way. So you can play this quarantine and this pandemic kind of basically two different ways. You can appreciate during this time, or you can depreciate during this time. There is no status quo, doesn't exist. You either appreciate over time or you depreciate over time, mentally, physically, spiritually, psychologically, family-wise, professionally, mentally, all these things, and they take effort and work on these, and it takes focused effort to not depreciate things. But luckily, you have a lot of free time now, so let's go over the things we're going to work on. Yeah, you can come out of this situation. You can come out of this more organized, rested, healthier, and have a kickstart on some habits that you usually don't have time to work on. So you can use this as kind of this isolation quarantine time as a springboard into setting yourself up for success in the next months and years to come. Or you can take this time to depreciate. You can eat bad food, sleep in. That's going to throw off your sleep cycle, your circadian rhythm. Play video games, watch TV, drink alcohol, smoke weed, smoke cigarettes. This is something that was on the CDC. The guy from the CDC on Joe Rogan's podcast, he brought up. So the big risk factors So there's immune issues, being elderly. Other risk factors that he mentioned were smoking. So smoking, big risk factor. He also brought up alcohol, drinking alcohol, big risk factor. Heart disease, obesity. So all of these things these are things we actually can affect. Like, you can affect whether you smoke cigarettes or not. You can affect whether you smoke weed or not. You can affect whether you drink or not. With obesity, same thing. Diet, you can control that. These are all difficult things to control. But also your diet and obesity also lead to heart disease. There are things that people can't control, some immune responses, and being elderly, obviously, but the ones that you want to control. So I haven't seen that very often on the news. One of my students at the gym did tell me they saw on a news story that said, you know, if you're a smoker, this is a good time to stop, to quit, or at least take a break for this time. Yeah, it's, I mean, that's the thing. One of the big risk factors is for smokers. Smokers and drinkers, obesity, heart disease, all these things, these are actually things we can manage. So I wish that would be a news story, would be actually right now. If you're a smoker or cigarette smoker, it's really important for you to stop smoking. It's one of the biggest risk factors for the COVID-19, the coronavirus. They don't want to do that because, that will make people mad. People get really angry, really, really angry, really defensive when you bring up their smoking or attack their cigarettes. I've had a pretty close friend, actually, when my fiance was pregnant, and I requested, please don't smoke around her. And they're really cool and stuff, but they got pretty defensive and pretty angry about it. Cigarettes are just, they are like demons. They're terrible. But you can depreciate and just sleep in, mess up your circadian rhythm. You can play video games and watch TV all the time and then be bored out of your mind and go crazy and just sit on social media or go on news sites and give yourself anxiety and stress constantly. So you got to bounce around and have a terrible time during this 2 weeks. But let's not pick that one. Let's not go that way, okay? The challenge of this quarantine is now you're your own boss. And that sounds simple to people, but no, you really are. You're your own boss. You don't have a job right now. If you're quarantined at home, if you're not working, so you don't have a boss. You don't telling you what to do, when to show up to work, when to go home. You don't have, you know, projects that are to be managed by certain dates. All these things. The problem you have is actually too much freedom and too much time on your hands right now, which sounds awesome to everybody. But if you remember your freshman year in college, people call it like the freshman 15 or whatever, like everybody gaining weight, sleeping in, partying all the time. It's when you don't have any direction or structure in your life. You need to implement it. If not, you're in for a rude awakening pretty quick. And this is not, I'm not saying this is an easy thing to do. It's actually a difficult thing. This is one of the major challenges of entrepreneurs. That's one of the big challenges, is because you have to direct yourself constantly. You have to direct yourself every single day, every single week, every single month, every single year. You have to have goals, goals, goals. It is actually nice to have leadership and company leadership and direction. It gets annoying to be told what to do and have direction and stuff, but when you are your own leader, you're your own boss, it is actually more difficult than people think. It's not as easy as you would think, because it's all on you. You can direct. So right now, yeah, if you're mad at your boss or anything, it's like right now is a great opportunity to be a better boss. Be your own boss and set yourself up. But if you're a bad boss to yourself right now during the next 2 weeks, you know, maybe have some empathy for that boss. Maybe they're not doing such a terrible job. Maybe they are. It's also a challenge. I've heard from a lot of my students that are ex-military, when they get out of the military, that the military is so goal-oriented and directive-based, that when you get out of the military, civilian life has less goals and directives, and that you have to choose your own goals and directives. And it's like, yes, exactly. You there are tons of goals and directives, but you have to implement them yourself. So you have to be able to steer your ship. You have to take ownership of your life, and this 2 week quarantine is gonna be a good exercise in that. You have to drive yourself now. A lot of people follow schedule just because their boss forces them to, or their employer forces them to, or, you know, whatever schedules, obligations they have. But we kind of get on these tracks. That's one of the risk of it, is that people get on these tracks that are not good for them. They're bad tracks, and they will stay on them for years and years and years. 5, 10 years later, they look back and they, they say, oh no, how did I waste 5 or 10 years? I can't believe I didn't do a pattern interrupt. Well, right now is a 2-week pattern interrupt for yourself. So great time to, again, use this as an exercise, as a pattern interrupt, but you are going to have to take charge of it. It's not going to just happen. If you sleep in and if you don't do these tips, it is not going to happen. Your default setting is not going to be to organization, discipline, focus, writing down goals and scheduling things. It is not the default setting. It is not. Your default setting is going to be that you want to sleep in and relax and depreciate. So again, just so you know, I'm not saying that you can't have any free time at all, any fun time playing video games or watching movies or TV or anything like that. It's a balance of both. You need to have leisure time and you still need to be constructive. But not being constructive is going to, it's depressing. It's very depressing. And people express depression in different ways. Some people will actually get depressive and they'll be destructive to themselves. And then other people are, they push that out and then they attack people. You'll see it on YouTube comments or YouTube videos or social media. So some people deal with depression in different ways. Some people are aggressive with it. Some people are self-destructive or self-aggressive with it. So you have to direct yourself. Schedule is really important for humans. Like it's really important to have a schedule. It's really important for anxiety, and it's really important for having growth. It's really important for your neurochemistry so that you won't be depressed, so that you're getting proper dopamine and serotonin daily, so that you're getting proper rest and your circadian rhythm is staying in, your sleep cycles, all your hormones, everything. Schedule is important for humans. You want to have a balance, obviously, between routine and schedule, but also experimentation with things that you're doing. These are hobbies and stretching yourself in your career field and things like that. But schedule is important. Just know that if you deal with anxiety a lot or depression a lot, like you want to start scheduling your life more. If you're overwhelmed all the time, you want to get a planner. You want to start scheduling it. A planner will change your life. If you start using a daily planner, scheduling out your days, it will change your life. No joke. So we're going to go over the tips and stuff of the planner and stuff, but it's really one of the best tips I could give you is pull out a planner, start writing down your schedule. You make your schedule the day before, and you make a schedule that you would want to have. You schedule out a day that you would like to have, that if you have that day, it would be productive, it would be fun, it'd be a good day. Then the next day, you wake up, you look at that planner, and you have that day. Then at the end of the day, you're happy with your day that you had. Some things you accomplished, some things you won't accomplish, it's okay. Just push them to the next day. And then by the end of the week, you'll achieve 15 action items that you would have not achieved if you just kind of floated with the breeze. And that's social events too. That's not just work things. That's important family things too. And those 15 action items that you will neglect if you don't write down on paper. This is hard to juggle everything. Life is complex. So this subject that you'll get, that everybody's about to get this during this quarantine time. They're going to get a practice in the little Friedrich Nietzsche when he spoke about the death of God, the proclamation of the death of God. It wasn't like he was cheering about it or anything, but he was saying it's one of the difficulties is that religion for a lot of people was good direction for a lot of people, and the death of God he actually thought would be a downturn in society, because humans now would have to create their own values. And his argument, I think, was that it's hard for you to create. How can you create your own values? You can't even get yourself out of bed on time and, follow a good diet. So he was being harsh on that, like basically discipline so hard, having a higher purpose helps guide people towards things, and keep themselves in routine or going towards good habits and good practices. And it's also the phrase, you've probably heard the phrase, it's harder to rule yourself than to rule an entire city. Everybody's about to get practice in this. Gonna learn pretty soon. So it's pretty difficult. But again, lots of times you don't have to think about these things because you're just floating, you're on this track of wake up, go to work after, you know, after work, got to pick up the kids, or got to do this, or you got to run this, and we got this bill, and oh no, I forgot to do this bill, and you're rushing. So you are going to have some time. You're going to have a lot of time to think right now during this 2 weeks. But you can also, but like I said, a lot of people are not going to think. They're going to drown it out with TV show after TV show, or video game after video game, or drinking or smoking, or, you know, and that's going to be terrible. You drink, smoke, play video games for 2 weeks, you are going to feel terrible. So, tips I'll give for this. So we'll go back to the schedule. First tip, make a schedule for the following day. Set up the type of day you would like to have. Has to be a mix of production, being productive and fun. So right now you're on vacation. Again, I'm saying vacation. You're not really on vacation. You're on a staycation. But it needs to be a mix of both production and fun. So I like to get all my productive stuff done earlier in the day, and then I like to have my fun leisurely times later in the day. So I can just get my productive stuff done after I've had my coffee, after my energy levels are nice and high, and I'm excited for the day, and I like to get all my work productive things done during that time of the day, the beginning of the day, beginning to mid part of the day. And I like the last 25-30% of my day to be my leisure time, fun time. So that's the relaxation, TV, movie, just going for a walk, watching TV, just like decompressing things, just family time, relaxing. But the first 60-75% of the day, I like to get all my action items done. That's it. Like get all that stuff done. You're going to get every one of those things that you check off your list, you're going to get a bump of dopamine. And then your relaxation, whether it's, you know, video games or TV or whatever it is, you're going to get your serotonin. Then at the end of the day, when you look at your schedule, you're going to also get more serotonin because you accomplished all those things. And the things that you couldn't get done with the day, you bump them to the following day. And then when you wake up the following day, you get another, boom, big charge because you got a mission. You get a big bump of dopamine. You got a mission and a directive for you to go for. And by the end of the week, again, you might get 15 things done that you wouldn't have got done otherwise in the week, just because you kept the schedule. And then at the end of the week, your whole life is just so much better. It's so much better organized, put together. You don't have all these nagging things that are creeping up on you and stuff because you couldn't keep up with them because you're trying to juggle them in your mind. And then when you look at your week and you think about your week, you're going to be less stressed because you're cleaning things up more and more, and you're getting good things done at the same time, and you're still getting to enjoy life. You're just not waking up and starting with the leisure time first, because it's hard to go into leisure time first, then go into work mode, productive mode, because they're different. They're different RPMs. They're different speeds. So number two, exercise daily for 45 minutes to an hour. Yeah, 45 minutes to an hour, right? Whatever you can do. If you don't get the exercise buzz daily, you're going to turn to drugs, alcohol, video games, TV. Okay, so your body's going to want some feel good stuff coming from something. And if you don't get it from exercise, you're going to be more likely to turn to alcohol. Seeing a lot of people, like, they're just drinking every single day. They're just getting trashed every day. So 45 minutes to an hour. My goal also is I want to be in better shape. I want my cardio to be better. I want to be strong. I want to feel better after this quarantine than I do going into it. Anything you can do. Kettlebells, dumbbells, they're great workouts at home. Some store like Walmart might still have some kettlebells or dumbbells. They might. If they don't, you could do bands too. But even if it's just, I put kettlebells in a wheelbarrow last night and just walked my wheelbarrow up and down my street with the kettlebells and wheelbarrow. It's a good workout. You can also, if you live around wooded areas, you can chop down trees. You can do hill sprints. You can just go run for an hour, run 45 minutes. It's going to give you, I'm saying that natural buzz, and all the things that if you don't do this 45 minutes to an hour a day, if you don't get that good feeling from your body, if you get a good workout in, you're less likely to eat really, really bad foods. You'll keep kind of the momentum going. But like the drugs, alcohol, video games, TV, they're all going to make you feel worse about yourself when you get done with it. And then it's going to be a vicious cycle, because to make yourself feel better about feeling worse about yourself, you're going to go back to that, whether it's drinking and watching another TV show that, you know, and then you're going to feel bad again. It's just a vicious cycle that keeps you on there. It keeps you stuck. And, but you're never going to feel worse about yourself after an hour exercise. So whether it's hill sprints, you know, if you got weights at home, awesome, kettlebells, whatever it is, anything, going for a run, 5 miles, 10 miles, you're never going to feel worse about yourself after an hour exercise. You're going to feel better about yourself. There's so many benefits that go through your brain and your body. And then you can actually eat some more food. So if you want to have pizza that night, or, you know, whatever, you want to have some ice cream, you can have that easier because you got that hour workout in. You get the benefit of both. Number three, take care of things that have been nagging at you. Organize, clean your car and clean your house, organize your house. This is like a super spring cleaning, things that you know that you need to do. Set yourself up for success when this is all over. It gives you something to do, and you eliminate things that are nagging you, that wear on you mentally, but you never have time to work on. So all this, all the spring cleaning that you've needed to do, the organizing your car, like there should be no reason after this quarantine that your car isn't clean inside and out, your garage isn't clean, you know, your attic isn't clean, all your laundry is not done, all your dishes aren't done, your entire house is clean, everything's organized, your work, you're prepped, all your uniforms for work are ready, your desk, all these projects that you always want to do, all the light bulbs in your house, your grass mowed, there's so many things that we don't have time to do because you're living normal life and there's only so much time in each day. This is your time to get rid of all those annoying things, put them on a list, check them off. And the nice thing is when this quarantine's over and you go back to work, you go back to normal life, you can be more productive at work and enjoy your life more, because all the really annoying stuff that you've needed to do, like painting some panel or something on the inside of your wall, or, you know, whatever, these little annoying things that you have to do around the house or with your life or your car or whatever, you know, your car, like just organize your car, like have it clean. It'll clear up your head and make you feel better. But there's no reason, there's no reason not to do it. And it's, going to help you out. Number four, get creative. If you like to be creative. So, like I'm doing this podcast cause I like to create things. Get creative, study, do art. If you like to draw, if you like to paint, read a lot. I'd really suggest reading. It would be awesome right now. When I was younger, I used to read way more. It's because I didn't have television, I didn't have internet. And I know that's one of the reasons, cause now that I have television and internet, is more difficult, to read, you know, just on my phone, having my phone, it's much more difficult to read. But right now it would be a great time to read. I like to read books that give me skills. But you know, if fiction is your thing, it's your thing. Painting, drawing, whatever your thing is. These are all clean mental stimulants. So if you're bored and you use a, dirty mental stimulant, a drug, video game, alcohol, you get a hangover and it won't, the more you do it, it won't make you feel better. If you're reading a really interesting book, it's going to expand your mind. It's going to exercise your brain and, maybe teach you some new skills. And, when you're done with that book, you'll be better for it as opposed to a video game. When you're done with a video game, you know, probably not better for it. But yeah, the get creative, number four, the get creative is really use your mind, use your brain. So you want to use your body with the physical exercise, but use your mind. You know, say if you're a jiu-jitsu guy, this would be study film. So study the world championships, study. There's so many instructionals. People have asked me to put some instructionals up. The only reason I'm really not putting instructionals up right now is because there's so many great instructionals up. Like people are doing it everywhere. BJJ Fanatics, they put out a free instructional. That's awesome. BJJ Fanatics and Wrestling Fanatics, they put out a free instructional. That's the only reason I'm not putting it up there, is because there's so much free great instructionals right now. If anything, there's too much stuff that's on the market. There's too much information to go with, but there's so much stuff right now. And then also, like, just like use this time to actually study. If you have your playbook, use this time to fill in your playbook, fill out things for your jiu-jitsu playbook. But feed your brain. Number five, eat a clean diet. My personal goal is for this pandemic, when it's over, for my body to look and feel better than it did going into it. Obviously, part of that is I don't want to get sick, and I don't want to contract the virus or a flu or anything like that. So I'm doing the measures as well: extra sleep, vitamins, in my humidifier, social distancing, all that good stuff, exercise. Oh, I'm trying to put as many sides, like stack the card, the deck in your favor as much as you can. The goal is to feel better at the end of this physically. Eating a clean diet, not eating garbage. That's just a given all the time. Not eating garbage, not drinking alcohol. Number six. This is basically a forced 2 weeks to clean up your life, house, car, diet, mind, relationship. You can use this time. This is definitely going to be a good time to spend quality time with your family, because you got so much of it. But doing those things as well are going to keep you from fighting with your family as much. You'll be in a better state of mind. It's definitely a self-direction time. To see, and I'm really interested to see, because this is this really, like, circumstances show you how people act, because when you have complete freedom. Habits. So use this to springboard your habits. It takes anywhere from 18 to 254 days to create a new habit. It's a wide range, right? It might be, it's not as clean as a 30-day to build a habit, 60-day to build a habit. If you want to look that up, it's I can't remember the study. If you just Google how long does it take to build a habit, makes more sense, though, that it could be anywhere from a month, you know, around 18 to 254 days, nearly a year. So if you've ever done something for a month and you didn't have the habit yet, but just the research and the data is a little bit different. It can be up to a year to build a habit. You've probably experienced that, though, with training or diet or exercise. It takes anywhere from 18 to 254 days to create a new habit. This quarantine is going to give you 14 days without all the normal social and work obligations and distractions, by simplifying your life. So use this as a 14-day springboard, or a little starter set, to get you going on all the really good habits that you have wanted to do, but you haven't had time to do. And what you want to do so that you can keep these habits is you want to create systems. So the systems would be a routine of what you eat for breakfast, how you schedule your lunch, your exercise, all these things. You want to create systems so that they just become an automatic part of your life and habit. So they do have to be something that you can actually keep going with you. Systems, implement systems are important. Number eight, last one, the choice is yours. So this ultimately comes down to you. You get to choose. If you get sick, the choice is not, if you get sick, number one priority is go to the hospital, get treated, do everything that you need to do if you get sick. But if you do not get sick during this quarantine and you are just home, drinking, smoking, playing video games, watching TV, on social media, arguing with people, on YouTube, arguing with people for 2 weeks, you really wasted 2 weeks that could be setting you up for the rest of your year to be a good time. So the choice is really yours, okay? People have a lot of freedom right now. It seems like the government is trying to put together a financial stimulus package to help with finances as well. Hopefully that goes through and gets passed. This is going to be an interesting little experiment in free will and freedom of choice, and also some isolation and quarantine. So it's going to be an interesting little thing. People are going to have to direct their lives more than normal and schedule their life more than normal. Ultimately the choice is yours, and that's the cool thing about free will, and a cool thing about our country and our society is you get to decide what you want to do. So this is also going to directly, last part, you know, on this, this is going to directly translate combat sports training whether it's the bag or the mats, during open mat time or open training on the bag, you need to have a plan of what you want to drill. So for me, for jiu-jitsu open mat, I go to the gym and I pick two things, and those two things I want to get 50 reps on. That's it, two moves, 50 reps. I don't pick 10 different things that I do 5 reps on. I pick two moves I do 50 reps on, and then I'll get live training going. This is for an open mat, like not doing a class session, but open mat session. That's what I'll do, not 10 different things. So that would be like going to the gym, and you do one set on, pec deck, one set tricep extensions, then you go on the treadmill for 5 minutes, then you go do calf raises, one set of calf raises, then you do one set of bicep curls, and you're like, okay, well, you know, I got a good workout. It's like, well, you didn't really get anything accomplished. You didn't get anything done. So you want to narrow your focus, but the main thing is, you want to have like every week, every month, every year, every practice, have a goal or a direction for what you're doing. If not, you're just kind of floating around. Doesn't mean that's the only thing you have to do, like with your sparring and stuff like that. If your goal is to land your high crotch, your double leg when you're sparring, if an ankle pick's there, take the ankle pick. But you need some direction. If not, you're just going to float around. So again, my recommendation, if I was doing bag work, I would work on like round by round, like my jab or my cross or my round kick. Or when I was sparring, I was trying to land a left hook to a low kick. Like left hook, low kick. That was my goal. I'd work everything else in as well, but I was trying to set up that left hook, low kick. That was my goal. For jiu-jitsu open mats, two moves, 50 reps a piece. And then when I spar, I have a goal as well. Am I trying to work on my guard today? Am I trying to work on my half guard today? Am I trying to work on, you know, very specific, but there needs to be a goal. It needs to be clearly articulated, and you need to think about it. For jiu-jitsu open mats too, you want to prep. Like you want to know what you want to review what you're going to go over, because it's not a class. You want to review what you're going over. You want to clearly understand what you're going over. You want to watch it over and over and over if you're studying something online. Yeah, and you want to have it prepped, so you want to know what you want to work on, and then the drilling time is when you work on it, and then as you're drilling the reps, after you get a couple thousand reps, then you'll understand more questions about it, but yeah, just kind of saying, what if this, what if that, you'll just kind of get paralysis by analysis, not get anything done. Same thing for Muay Thai or boxing. If you stand in front of the bag saying, what if I throw, if they slip my jab, what if that, it's like, you just need to throw a jab. You just need to drill your jab right now. And then when you're sparring, if you throw the jab and they slip, then you start working on the what ifs. But most people could just kind of want to talk, and they get stuck in the paralysis by analysis. It's natural. It's normal. It happens to a lot of people. So in closing, if you're stressed out about the gym, don't stress out. Phoenix MMA, will be here. We're not going anywhere. It's probably going to be a slow time for the gym. Obviously this 2 weeks, but, it's going to take a little bit of time for this, for everybody to recover. I'm sure the country's going to recover, the economy, gym, everything like that is going to recover, because this wasn't a structural thing like the housing collapse. This is a pandemic that sideswiped us, that it was hard for anybody. Nobody's immune system could prepare for this. The recovery is not supposed to take as long. So the good news, that's the good news. So after this 2 weeks, just so you know, Phoenix MMA will be opening April 6th. We'll have classes, unless the mayor or governor has like a new mandate or something like that. We're going to follow the laws. So we won't be having class if they mandate, something like that. But the plan right now is we are planning, we're getting classes ready for April 6th. So we'll see you April 6th. We have a lot of events coming up. Before this coronavirus popped up, we had a lot of tournaments coming up. We had a lot of fights coming up. We had title fights. We had people's debut fights. And we had international tournaments that were coming up, World Championships, Boston Open, all this good stuff. But that has all been postponed. So it doesn't mean that it's not happening. It's just being postponed. I'll have all those details as soon as possible, and I will put them out as soon as possible for everybody. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. These are my personal goals for this pandemic. I hope that it helps you out if you listen to this. And not saying can be completely Spartan with your life or anything. I'm saying use enough discipline to make your life feel better, and then also enjoy some leisure time. You get to have fun in life too. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode. Phoenix MMA will be reopening April 6th. We will see you then, and yeah, everybody, enjoy your quarantine. If my heart goes out, if you have anybody that is infected or is sick, right now, if you need anything, reach out to us. If you're in dire straits right now, reach out if you need food or something like that, or you need some assistance or help. We have a really cool community at Phoenix MMA, so a lot of people with the tornadoes a couple weeks ago, we had a lot of people that were volunteering to help a lot of services for food or places to stay and stuff like that. So if you need something, just reach out. And we do have a pretty cool support group and support team at the gym. So I just want to say thank you to all of our students. Y'all are awesome. Thank you for coming, and thank you for making the gym a cool place to be in, and making it a cool culture where everybody's working hard and everybody's being cool. And overall, it's a cool place to be. So the Phoenix MMA is not going anywhere. We're going to be here after the pandemic. We're going to be better, and 2020 is not over. It's just the beginning of the year. So our goal is going to be turning this year into a really good year after all this clears up. So hope that you enjoyed this episode, and hope you enjoyed this episode, and stay safe, and enjoy your quarantine. See you.